And coming up next on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, it's your favorite Thursday afternoon show, A Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Today is September 5th, 2019. Been following the homeless peregrinations of the City Council's Poverty Pimp Enablers. That's the CATCH Committee. Actually, I don't know if that's quite an accurate way of describing them. That's the Community Advisory something something on homelessness that the City Council passed and sent its homelessness issues to, rather than deal with the specific proposals of Drew Glover, because after all, that might actually be doing something like setting up encampments, or at least just letting nonprofits set up encampments. It might mean, you know, keeping an eye on the police department so they're not engaging in illegal stops or unduly spending lots of money going after homeless people for offenses they can't possibly pay for that aren't really offenses at all. Opening up bathrooms and sanitary facilities, making sharps containers available so that there is some safer needle disposal, maybe needle distribution. Hey, maybe injection centers. I know that would be a radical idea, but San Francisco has already passed it and is fighting to do it. So why not Santa Cruz? Anyway, that's the kind of stuff that is not being talked about, either at City Council or at CATCH. And even, I mean, actually, I beg your pardon, they'll probably be talked about at the CATCH committee. You know, they talked about their bylaws and their timelines at their last meeting. I may be playing some of that, if not today, then on my Sunday show. And I'm also going to be playing some usual stuff from the streets, Red Church dialogues, encounters with the police. And then, of course, the protest that happened on Tuesday that I thought was remarkably successful. We were able to occupy and open both the men's and the women's bathrooms at the Loudoun Nelson Center this time, perhaps because Izeth Ray, the bathroom baroness, was on vacation. She runs the Loudoun Nelson Center for the Parks and Rec Department. And I guess we can put the WRECK into REC. There's also a protest coming up on Sunday at the last performance of the Mime Troupe. They're not involved, unfortunately. They usually steer clear of local issues, although they sometimes provide an opportunity for local activists to talk. I don't know if they have done that recently. They're in San Lorenzo Park. They have their show at 3 o'clock, come at 2:30 to sort of mingle. We're going to be there at 2:15 setting up and encouraging people to join the California Union of the Homeless, HUF, Conscience in Action, and join us in direct actions to reopen bathrooms citywide. Now, bathrooms are important, of course, but they're only a tiny part of this whole thing. The right to be unmolested by police if you're in a public place, the right to sleep somewhere legally at night, given the fact that the city has no intention of opening up any meaningful services for any number of homeless people, seems to be at least what's on my sights as a decent goal and something to push for right now, rather than talk about ending homelessness or, supporting a nice navigation center that navigates you into non-existent housing, the kind of stuff that does roll out the big grants from the government bodies, but doesn't really have much to do with real people out there and meeting the real needs of those real people. Anyway, enough of me, or actually you're going to get a lot more of me, but stay tuned and you'll learn what's up. At least what's up as we see it.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
If you're going to Santa Cruz, you can put flowers in your hair, but don't sit on a bench for 16 minutes while you're there. Don't try to use the toilet at the public library or at the so-called community center, or you would quickly see that the laid-back surfer vibe is just a very thin veneer to hide a playground for the rich, where the poor all live in fear. Fear of the next eviction, between the things they must choose, between eating or feeding the landlord in the town of Santa Cruz. If you're going to Santa Cruz, don't play music in the street by the statue of Tom Scribner, where the anarchists used to meet back in the days when anarchists could afford to exist anywhere near the coastline that the red sun kissed. The city is a police state, complete with microbreweries, but you better leave by nightfall if you're not a Google employee. If you like to travel, here's some advice you can use. Beware the bourgeois town they call Santa Cruz. If you're going to Santa Cruz, you'd best have lots of green. And I'm not talking about cannabis, you know what I mean. I'm talking about money. The city reeks of dollar bills. You can see it on the lawn signs beneath the windowsills. Vote no on Measure M, all the developers say, because a rent control board would just get in the way of profits. Because that's all there is to lose if the rich don't get their way in the town of Santa Cruz. If you're going to Santa Cruz.
So I'm going to begin by jumping to last Tuesday, where we had this protest at the Loudoun Nelson Center. Actually, it was mostly in front of the Loudoun Nelson Center on the Center Street and Laurel Street side. We had a table on the sidewalk, various signs arrayed along the grass. We had some folks giving out flyers to people at the stoplight, at Laurel and Center. And we also had two folks making sure that the bathrooms remained open for men and women both. And a couple weeks ago, we had the women's bathroom kept open, but this time, both bathrooms were kept open. And to be candid about it, the staff on this occasion were very laid back. They didn't attempt to lock or shut the bathrooms as they did the last time we were here, and as they apparently do with some regularity throughout the days, or have been doing in the last few weeks, or last actually since March of 2018 since March of 2018, the locks went on to bathroom openable by a code such as you find in downtown restaurants for their restrooms. That's been going on since May or so of 2018, but they've been locking the bathrooms and, oh, I don't know, going and opening them from the, having people go to the counter and ask to be able to get into the bathroom and then an attendant, as I understand it, that was the previous method from March through May or something to that effect, producing quite a bit of anger among homeless folks who were turned away based on peculiar criteria. Of course, the criteria, for those who don't know, the criterion used at the Loudoun Nelson Center in order to filter the bathrooms or protect the bathrooms or protect the children, or they have various different reasons they claim, or excuses I call them, or pretexts. But in any case, not only were we successful in keeping the bathrooms open and seeing a more laid-back approach on the part of the staff, many of whom I think are not too happy with the dictates of the comandante there, who I call the Baroness, who really not only supervises the whole area as the head of the authority pyramid there, but also who seems to be the really motivating force behind this person giving these stern talks to City Council and the Parks and Rec Commission, Izeth Ray. I call her the bathroom baroness, or at least I've just been playing around with that phrase. I mean, I think it's ludicrous. I think she needs to be laughed at in this, in terms of these policy decisions. And as I've said in the past, it's ironic that she actually speaks up well for her fellow workers as workers who are being priced out of housing in Santa Cruz, having to move up to Felton, taking care of a family with two children, not being treated fairly by the city, although I think they did do some kind of a deal for the managerial middle staff, of which I guess she is a member. But, you know, this policy around the bathroom treats people like shit. I suppose there's a certain strange ironic fitness there, but it can be kind of hard to appreciate the irony if you're about to crap in your pants or wee-wee all over your slacks. So anyway, I approached the Loudon Nelson through the Laurel Park, which is also closed at night and fenced off, thanks to the latest anti-homeless narrative, which is being pushed by some neighborhood groups and eagerly, or at least sedulously, if nothing else, responded to by the city council and by the staff, which really runs the city council. Here's some of the discussion. I'll interrupt it at points. It's me giving a long narrative and doing interviews with folks. We, myself and Alicia Cool, the activist from the California Homeless Union, who showed up, and I guess her children were playing in the playground. They came up and greeted me as I walked by, or as I drove up. We walked through the Loudon Nelson Center, and we went to set up a table on the sidewalk on the Center Street side of Loudon Nelson, and here's some of that whole thing. All right, come Unmotivated You. Well, here at the Loudon Park, it's September 3rd. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. About 12 folks sleeping in the... We have a bunch of daytime sleepers here. Shocking.
You see Deb? Deb's over there. You want to talk to Deb?
These sleepers were sleeping in the actual Laurel Park adjacent to Loudon Nelson. That's not considered use of the center or the park, so they aren't considered patrons of the area, so they are denied access to the bathrooms, or have been over the last year and a half. Although on this day, we found the bathrooms open. Actually, the doors to the bathrooms were open, and to make sure they stayed open, two of us, one man, one woman, stationed themselves just inside each bathroom to make sure that the bathrooms didn't get either inadvertently or intentionally closed and locked to the public.
Can I ask where her life has been?
I eventually do, but I got to set up a table over here first.
Where's the table?
It's on the other side.
On the other side of what?
The famous Loudon Nelson Center.
Behind you.
Straight ahead of us. Hello. Rangers patrolling the park are not hassling the... I guess now I'm counting more, like 12 or 13 sleepers.
You don't know, they're powwowing. They could be getting ready to hassle. They're talking
they could
about
be,
it.
But as of yet they aren't. So we're kind of setting up on the other
there
side.
You are.
Yeah, sorry,
I
we're late.
I just called you.
It's about 25 to.
Situation is dear to my heart.
It's about time an officer showed up. That's the police chief. 25 to 2.
And this is a jump. I was jumping around. Actually, I just didn't record a lot of the chatter that we had. This was Chief Andy Mills, who is walking to the police station, which is directly across from the Loudon Nelson Center in the next block. In fact, supposedly a place where you can go to the bathroom during the day if the police station is open. And I've heard various accounts of how frequently that is. I guess my most recent sense of what that is it is open during business hours at the police station. If you don't mind going to the bathroom in the police department, which some folks, particularly poor folks who have outstanding citations, often for nothing, or for what the Parks and Rec Department or the police department, which now essentially has kind of subsumed the Parks and Rec Department's enforcement people, characterizes as a crime, such as being in a park after dark, sitting down on the sidewalk within 14 feet of a building, or a phone. That was the most recent thing I observed last Saturday. So it's not often a comfortable thing for people who are poor to go and who have these citations or have to worry about these citations to go try to go to the bathroom in the police department. Though, as I understand, I mean, I'm facilities are now are nice and clean, and if they're not doing, quote, a training, according to, again, I'm not entirely sure, but this is the most recent assurances of the Loudoun-Nelson staff, as well as some, I'm trying to remember the last person who reassured me of this, but I don't know, I can't remember exactly, but that is my feeling. I have heard that they were not open as well at different times. People have gone there and couldn't use the facilities. And not just on days when there was a police training, but let's go on with what was going on at the protest, where we actually had access to Loudoun-Nelson's facilities.
And we're on the sidewalk here outside Loudoun-Nelson, mostly in the shade, but a little bit in the sun, with a lot of signs on the grass.
Yeah, that's, even when I come down here, I'm like,
we have a couple of media people here.
Right.
And make sure you get Andy's good side.
And if you,
Andy, we'd like you to sign our petition, if you wish.
Children,
open bathrooms.
You're also welcome not to block the entire sidewalk.
And that was the only thing Andy had to say to us, that we are welcome not to block the entire sidewalk, which we weren't doing. I would say we were occupying about half the sidewalk, but there was adequate space for anyone to come by. No one has complained except for Andy, who didn't stop to sign our petition or to discuss the issue on his way to the police station. He didn't seem to be in a great hurry, but he didn't also seem to be too inclined to talk with us. There were several media people there, one from City on a Hill Press, another Alex DeRosi of Santa Cruz Indie Media. The City on a Hill Press article, I think you'll find, I interviewed her later as she was interviewing me. I tend to do that with media. I think they need to be interviewed as well. There will not be anything written formally in City on a Hill likely until late September when they begin publishing again. But there was an immediate story that appeared by Alex DeRosi along with a lot of nice photographs of the bathroom attendants that we provided and guarantee that the bathrooms would be open that day. And indeed, I was told at the next day at the Conscience in Action meeting by Thomas that the bathrooms remained open throughout the day, even after we left. So hats off to the staff for doing that. I was also told that Izeth Ray, the motive force behind the closing the bathroom from my perspective, has taken a two-week sabbatical or a vacation. So who knows? Maybe that has something to do with it, or maybe they're paying attention to Justin Cummings, that's Vice Mayor Justin Cummings, final words at City Council before he was contradicted by Izeth Ray, that the council really, or at least he, wanted to see a humane policy going on there and that elderly and senior people be, you know, given access. And Izeth Ray's response to that, as I've mentioned in previous shows, was, nope, we got to have one standard for all. You either buy something or you're a patron of an event or you don't get into our bathrooms. Of course, our bathrooms are really the community bathrooms, so it's interesting that... Well, I don't want to say she used the word our, but that's how, in fact, her staff acts.
Not going to sign our petition, huh?
Nice hello.
You'd be nice if you responded to a direct inquiry, Andy. You are the chief of police. Oh, I forgot. You're privileged to just ignore everybody you want, right?
Does he hate all of you?
I think he does hate us. Do you see the way he acts towards us?
It's more friendly than that.
Jeez, that was so rude.
That's insane.
Let's not block the area with that squad car, please. Thank you.
Well, I had a confrontation.
And there was a squad car that pulled up across the street in an area that was not normally used for parking, and I know the police will always tell you, we can park wherever we want, and we're the public safety people. And, you know, certainly if there's a real emergency or a problem, I wouldn't begrudge a police officer parking a vehicle where they need to park it. But the problem often is they stop to harass. They stop with a massive, unnecessarily large force. It's, you have to judge in any situation what's going on. And you might say, well, you know, if you're a civilian or a citizen, just a civilian, you know, not part of the military chain of command, how do you know what's actually happening? And the answer is you don't, particularly when the police are keeping that information from the public. But you can use your eyes and ears to get a sense of just how many police are doing what in this situation, apparently. And you can also ask questions. And if you get evasive or authoritarian answers, Well, you can draw your own conclusions.
With him about RV.